What's going on, everybody? I was recording this episode when the news about former New Orleans Saint Paris Harrelson broke. Rest in power, 37 years old. I just wanted to make sure I attach this in here to pay respects to a former New Orleans Saint. So a quick moment of silence here for Paris Harrelson before we get started with today's episode. Thank you very much for sharing with me a moment just in respect to Harrelson and his family.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On NFL, and here for you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. On today's episode, we're going to start off with a download of all the biggest news that's going on. A busy week already for the team. You've got injury updates for Eric McCoy, Marshon Lattimore, and Marcus Davenport. Bradley Roby's officially on the roster, and much more going on around the team. Then we're going to talk about the addition, the reunion between the New Orleans Saints and wide receiver Kenny Stills. Is he the perfect weapon for Jameis Winston at this time? We'll discuss before we wrap up today's episode with the most important numbers that you need to know from the New Orleans Saints 38-3 victory over the Green Bay Packers. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, a ton of news to get to in today's episode. So let's start off with the injury news that you need to know. I want to start off with Eric McCoy because maybe this is where we're the most uncertain at this time. According to Nick Underhill, the initial belief before testing, that's very important, before testing, was that Eric McCoy had merely suffered a calf strain. Now that they're either undergoing testing or have undergone testing, we'll wait to get further details about that. With Eric McCoy out, the Saints slid Cesar Ruiz from right guard to center and then had Calvin Throckmorton, undrafted free agent from the 2020 season, slot in at right guard. Both of those players performed well. Usually Will Clapp would have just come in at backup center, but he was inactive for game day. The other big injury in the trenches for the New Orleans Saints to keep an eye out on is over on the defensive side. That is for pass rusher Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport had a pec injury. Thankfully, not a pec tear. It was a pec strain. So it's kind of the best of bad news in that case. No matter what, you can expect Marcus Davenport to miss some time. Javon Hargrave had a pec strain in the offseason last year before the 2020 season began. It happened on August 17th. He was back on the field by September 20th, 5 weeks later in week two, seeing action. So if that is the case, and depending upon the severity or the difference of severity between both of these strains, you can look to maybe kind of circle in pencil on your calendar the idea of Marcus Davenport returning in about 5 weeks, which would put him on similar timelines to Michael Thomas, as well as David Onyemata, who could see their way back to the roster on weeks 7 or 8 after the bye week. Now, the other big piece here is Marshon Lattimore. Marshon Lattimore got a huge contract after the game week one, but also got news that he was going to have to get thumb surgery after the game as well. According to Ian Rappaport, who kind of mentioned it during one of his NFL Network hits, Marshon Lattimore is expected to be out a couple weeks, quote unquote. But of course, it's still a week by week sort of diagnosis for him at the moment. So they'll be checking in to see, you know, after the surgery, if he's able to play with a cast on his hand as opposed to playing uncast, things like that, that might help him get back sooner, whatever that might be. In the meanwhile, if Marshon Lattimore is unable to go week two, the performance by Paulson Adebo certainly helps you feel a little bit more comfortable going into the Carolina Panthers game in Carolina against a familiar opponent. Remember, Joe Brady's offense, much like a junior version of Sean Payton's offense, so they know each other very well. So Paulson Adebo being able to adjust to that, pretty high likelihood there, but the Saints also get reinforcements. They traded before the week one matchup against the Packers for former Houston Texans cornerback Bradley Roby. Roby was, of course, suspended for week one. He is now off of the suspension list and on the Saints 53-man roster. So the two of those corners should be expected to start, Roby and Adebo, if Lattimore has to miss time over the next couple of weeks. In order to make the roster spot for Bradley Roby, the Saints moved on from Jordan Miller, who they elevated from the practice squad week one, and ended up being inactive once Lattimore was able to go. So Jordan Miller back on the market, though it seems likely he could find his way back to the practice squad. Speaking of Marshawn Lattimore, we got some additional details on his contract. We'll break down his contract further in another episode, but I want to talk about next year's cap numbers. New Orleans Saints right now sitting $55 million plus over next year's cap, but they did something genius with Marshawn Lattimore's contract. Yeah, can you believe it? Kai Harley, Mickey Loomis, they did something genius with the contract. They built in a $9 million plus base salary in 2022, as well as a $15 million roster bonus, both of which can be restructured to save a ton of money. They did the same thing or something similar with the roster bonus on Ryan Ramczyk's contract. So the Saints continuing to extend these players, but also prepare to get themselves under the cap ahead of next season. Now, the New Orleans Saints are dealing with something a little specific and a little unique going into this week two matchup. Right now, the coaching staff, the team are in intensive protocols because of positive tests that popped for a couple of, I believe it's offensive assistants, no coordinators, but assistant coaches for the New Orleans Saints who are all vaccinated. So the moment that they go two consecutive days with negative tests, they'll be cleared and they'll be fine. But they may go into this next game without a couple of assistant coaches, a storyline that we'll continue to keep an eye out on. And one last piece of news for you to make sure you're up to date with the New Orleans Saints travel plans. They end up traveling back to Fort Worth after the game against the Green Bay Packers in Jacksonville. So the Saints will remain on the road and will travel for these next two games as well. So it'll be interesting to see if fatigue fits in, preparing and practicing away from home, and then sitting, getting on the road to go to Carolina, and then following that up with a travel to New England. We saw on Monday that the Tulane Green Wave have a date to get back to New Orleans. Hopefully, we'll see the same thing for the Saints as they look to return to the Big Easy as soon as possible. And speaking of homecomings, we did get a reunion in New Orleans. Kenny Stills, drafted by the New Orleans Saints in 2013, has found his way back. Is he the perfect pairing with Jameis Winston? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about our good friends over at BetOnline.ag. Week one is officially up, and it ended with absolute chaos on Monday Night Football between the Ravens and the Raiders. The Raiders somehow finding a way to win that one after trying on every option of losing that they could figure out. But all of the week two lines are already up over at betonline.ag around the NFL, including the New Orleans Saints, who are favored -3 road favorites in this matchup. So if you're feeling good about that, you think the Saints can cover, go ahead and head over to betonline.ag and get in on that action, as well as any of the other action around the NFL. You got the MLB with the playoffs right around the corner, and they also have your favorite Vegas casino games that you can play as well. So go and check them out, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up so you can get a welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's with your very first deposit. It's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, over at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, family, the reunion that we have all been waiting for is finally underway. Kenny Stills returning to the New Orleans Saints. He was drafted by the Saints back in 2013, spent 2 years with the Saints before being shipped off, 2013 and 2014. And during that time, he was an absolute deep threat and a big time field stretcher for this team. Now, there were some differences between him and the team. I was actually a little bit surprised to see the Saints actually even so much as try him out. He actually tried out with three other receivers, spent some time with Kelvin Harmon, with Marquise Lee, as well as with Cody Core as well. But they ended up signing the former New Orleans Saint and bringing him back to New Orleans. So what exactly does Kenny Stills bring to the New Orleans Saints? What does he have left here in 2021? And is he a good pairing for Jameis Winston? I'll tell you right now, he is a fantastic pairing for Jameis Winston. You don't have to go too far back in time to see Kenny Stills still being a viable deep threat in the NFL, a career yards per target, or average depth of target rather, throughout his career of over 14 yards. Back in 2013 and 2014, he was utilized in this New Orleans Saints the offense as a huge deep threat and a big time field stretcher. On targets, 20 plus yards down the field. In 2013, he averaged 56.7 yards per catch. And in 2014, he averaged 41.1 yards per catch. But don't worry, even if he ends up not being a viable deep threat at this point in his career, which I think we have seen enough recently to believe that he absolutely still can be. Just as recent as 2018 and 2019, his quarterback ended up with a passer rating of 101.2 as well as 118.8 respectively when targeting Kenny Stills between 10 to 19 yards, which is where the majority of Jameis Winston's targets on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers went. Remember, he only had one target that actually traveled more than 20 yards from the line of scrimmage through the air, and that was the big 55-yard touchdown to Deontay Harris, which we have an interesting tidbit about coming up as we wrap up the show here in a little bit. But I think that Kenny Stills will be a very, very good addition to this offense. He'll partner with Deontay Harris as an option for a field stretcher, for a deep target guy in place of Tre'Quan Smith, who's still on injured reserve and will not be able to return back to the team until week four at the absolute earliest. I wonder how much this Kenny Stills signing has to do with Tre'Quan Smith's injury, or potentially even with Deontay Harris's suspension. Do the Saints know something that we don't? Could they be preparing for something that we're unaware of? Now, when it comes to injuries, we'll get an injury report on Tuesday, but it'll be interesting to see what else we learn throughout the week. Or is it simply that the New Orleans Saints wanted more firepower after they saw what they could do with Jameis Winston in week one and went out and found it? That is also completely understandable and completely viable. They did add Chris Hogan to the active roster last week to make sure that they had the numbers that they needed in order to make this move. Could it have been that the Saints were waiting until after the week one matchup all along? That way, Kenny Stills' contract wouldn't have been guaranteed. That's a very important detail for signings that take place after week one of the NFL season. So many different reasons for this signing to happen at this time, and so many different ways that Kenny Stills will be able to continue to contribute. One of the other pieces to Kenny Stills' game that I think will be welcome in New Orleans is his ability to create separation. As recently as 2019, Next Gen Stats has him with an average separation of 2.7 yards. That's more than any receiver was able to muster over this first game of the season, going against a very, very good secondary, of course, but the only player that created a considerable amount of separation in this matchup in week one of the 2021 season was tight end Adam Trautman, who unfortunately had a couple of drops, was targeted six times, and only reeled in three catches. So what more could you look to find than separation and somebody that can be a two, if not three level threat at the receiver position? So definitely something to watch here as the New Orleans Saints add Kenny Stills first to the practice squad. Then we'll see them, I'm sure, elevate him to an active roster spot once that becomes available. Of course, the Saints will continue to tinker around with this roster as they roll ahead and start to turn their attention to the Carolina Panthers, which we're not ready to do just yet. But do keep in mind, we do have crossover Thursday. On Thursday, Julian Council of the Locked On Panthers podcast will be coming through. He and I will do a full episode together previewing that matchup. But we're not quite done looking at the Green Bay Packers win first. So I want to jump into some of the most important numbers from Sunday's absolute blowout. And I'm not just talking about that 38-3 score. We're going to get more granular. We're going to get more finite. We're going to have some fun as we wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. And y'all know me, I love getting granular, getting finite. It's one of my favorite things about rockauto.com, because you can get granular, you can get finite in your search for the auto part, piece, or accessory that you're looking for. No matter what make, what model, what year vehicle you've got, they've got you covered. And a fantastic and super simple user interface to help you get there. They'll let you get as detailed as you need to be on the way. And all on the same time there, they're also helping you save money by getting you the same quality parts that you can get at the chain store without the hassle, without the time, without having to leave your home, and best of all, saving you some money as well. So I absolutely love our friends over at rockauto.com. And I always like to remind people that they're a family business as well, and they've been helping auto parts customers online for over 20 years. So go and show them some love. And while you're showing them some love, show us some support as well by writing Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section at checkout to let them know that we sent you. It's Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And I also want to tell you about our good friends over at DirecTV and DirecTV Stream. This is one of my favorite things I've ever gotten to talk about. I went ahead and I bought it on my own. I am a subscriber because it comes with no annual contract. So if I didn't like it, I figured I could just move on from it. And I absolutely love it. I'm not even kidding. I absolutely love it because it's exactly as advertised. You've seen the commercials, right? Wonder Woman, Serena Williams, Wonder Woman, Serena Williams, all that stuff. It works exactly like that without actually turning Serena Williams into Wonder Woman. But you do get to switch back and forth between your favorite sports, your favorite TV shows, and your favorite movies with absolutely no hassle at all, all with the same device. No need to jump from this Plus to that Max to this Flix to that Flix. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You just jump, you just basically flip, just like the old last button on your television. It's super dope. So I'm absolutely loving it. Highly recommend you check it out as well. Remember, no annual contract is going to help you get your TV together. For more information, check out directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device is required and content varies by package. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Want to wrap up today's episode talking about some of the important numbers from Sunday's matchup against the Green Bay Packers. The absolute slobber knocker the New Orleans Saints put on Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, and the Packers, sending them packing after a 38-3 victory. But that's not the number that I want to talk about. Here are some of the numbers that I want to talk about. Let's talk about average starting field position. First number, 7-0. That's what the New Orleans Saints were last year. Anytime that their average starting field position was better than their own 30. In this game, their average starting field position was their own 36. In the third quarter, it was Green Bay's 31 because you had the couple of interceptions there, the turnover on downs. The New Orleans Saints did a really great job during that third quarter. I believe that this game was won in the third quarter. And those turnovers, New Orleans Saints field position and their quick strike ability, Jameis Winston throwing a touchdown every 29.8 yards in this game. Every 29.8 yards, every 30 yards, Jameis Winston threw a touchdown. A lot of it had to do with the very friendly field position that he and the offense were given all throughout this game, both by the defense and by special teams as well. Let's look at some PFF numbers. New Orleans Saints ranking in top 10 before Monday Night Football in both offense and defensive overall grades. They were sixth in the passing game, second in the run game as well. New Orleans Saints had 171 rushing yards on the ground. Extremely efficient there, running the ball nearly twice as many times as they threw the ball. Impressive that they were able to do that, especially considering the fact that they were down one very key offensive lineman in Eric McCoy. You had an offensive lineman playing out of position with Cesar Ruiz shifting over to center. And then, of course, Calvin Throckmorton getting his first NFL start over the course of 20-plus plays. And the New Orleans Saints still dominating on the ground. One of the reasons why they were able to do that was because of the lack of eight-man boxes that were faced by both Alvin Kamara and Tony Jones Jr. Tony Jones Jr. seeing an eight-man box only 9.09% of the time on Sunday. Alvin Kamara only 10% of the time. Last year, he saw those eight-man boxes. Alvin Kamara did over 16%. And then the year before that, 11% of the time. Meanwhile, in each of the last two seasons, Latavius Murray saw it more than 30%. Of the time. So combined, way less than even what Latavius Murray faced over the course of the last two seasons in each of those last two seasons. So that is one of the big reasons why the New Orleans Saints were able to run the ball so well. And a big part of that was because these defenses are actually going to be required to spread themselves out with the offense and not just load up the box. They have to guard every bit of the field. Kevin King thought that Deontay Harris wasn't going to be able to get hit down the field. Jameis Winston proved him wrong, and people will continue to take notice of that over on the defensive side. Speaking of that touchdown pass to Deontay Harris, that was one of two out of the top 20 improbable throws that Next Gen Stats tracks that Jameis Winston was responsible for. He had two out of the top 20 there. The 55-yard touchdown to Deontay Harris ranked number 7 last week with a 22.7% probability catch rate there. Mostly having to do and being sort of by virtue of the air yardage attached to it. That ball traveled 59 yards through the air, the second longest air yards pass of the day or of the week, with Russell Wilson being number one at 59.4 and his beautiful deep ball to Tyler Lockett down the field. The other pass that ranked within the top 20 was actually number 20, 30.1% catch probability for the 1-yard touchdown that Jameis Winston threw to Juwan Johnson, who extended to make a fantastic catch in the back of the end zone. And again, that happened on a 4th-and-1 late or early enough in the game that, you know, you just have to put the ball where only your player, your teammate, your receiver can make a play on it. That's exactly what Jameis Winston did. So even though he's got two of the top 20 most improbable catches there or improbable completions there, not really by virtue of bad decision-making or anything like that, just simply logistics in a sense. New Orleans Saints rookie cornerback Paulson Adebo had a fantastic game. Yes, he had the interception, but he also played 100% of defensive snaps in his first game. 41 of those snaps were coverage snaps, targeted once out of every 10 or so of those snaps with 4 targets in this game, allowing only 1 catch for 14 yards, and then had an interception forcing a passer rating when targeted of 2.1. A 2.1 passer rating when targeted in his first NFL action while playing 100% of the defensive snaps against reigning MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer, and Matt LaFleur's system. Not a bad showing for Paulson Adebo. He performed so well that he got a mention both in Monday morning quarterback and in Monday afternoon quarterback by Albert Breer about not only his performance, but also the Saints seeing something in Paulson Adebo from his 2018 film. So even though he had a little bit more of a down 2019 and didn't play college football in 2020, they believe that they could get him in the right system, in the right environment, and that that would allow him to get back to his 2018 form. And well, as of right now, it looks like he's on his way. All right, family, tomorrow is Film Watch Wednesday. So we're going to go ahead and break down the film. We're going to talk more about Paulson Adebo. We're going to talk about the offensive line and the defensive line, particularly Tano Passanio. Where did he line up? How efficient was he? All of that good stuff. So we're going to break down a bunch going into the film on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we'll turn our attention to the Carolina Panthers with Locked On Panthers host Julian Council. Now that you're done here, go and win yourself some money. Go check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q, who is sure to be in a good mood tomorrow after that Monday Night Football win, and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Make sure you come back tomorrow here for more Locked On Saints. And for everything in between these episodes, make sure you come and check me out on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.